Now, each sinner that God saves, we know that we have to be perfect before God. We have to be perfect before God. And that means we have to have loved God perfectly. We have to have loved our neighbor perfectly, with absolutely no sin. We have to have obeyed God in perfection. And how can that be for Christ's sheep? Where is that manifest? Where do we see that? How can it be? Well, our Lord said at the end of verse 15, I lay down my life for the sheep. That's where we see just perfect, righteous love for God and for His people. Look down at verse 17. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power, authority to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. The Lord Jesus Christ is speaking here of Himself as the mediator. He's speaking of Himself as the one head of His people, the one representative of His people. And He's declaring that His obedience, His laying down His life, was absolutely voluntary. It was free. It was His will to do it. He did it voluntarily, freely. He wasn't coerced. Nobody took His life. He did this freely of Himself. He laid down His life and He took it up again. It was by His own will that He did so. It was by His own power that He did so. And He said, for this reason, my Father loves me. Now, first of all, let's look here at the Father's commandment. He said in verse 18, this commandment have I received of my Father. In eternity, God the Father made His will known to the Son, for Him to come forth, take flesh as a representative of His people, and lay down His life to declare God's righteousness, to manifest the love of God, that perfect righteousness of God toward His people. And Christ willingly became surety, willingly entered into covenant with the Father to perform this. He willingly did that, to serve God as a man representing His brethren, to be the one man God looked to, the head of His people. And to do so, He had to go to a cross, and He had to lay down His life on the cross. Whenever God gave the law, the Lord summed that up. Let's look at Mark 12. The Lord summed up the whole law of God in Mark 12, in verse 30. He said, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like it, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. Absolutely. Now look over at John 15. Our Lord's telling us in our text what the fulfillment of that law is, what's required in the fulfillment of it, is that a person has to love God perfectly, perfectly, and love his neighbor as himself perfectly. And look what our Lord says here in John 15:13. He said, there's no greater commandment. And he says in John 15:13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And that greatest love, that no greater love than what Christ is declaring in our text, his love for God and his people. He's the only one who ever loved God and his people with all his heart and mind and soul and strength. He's the only one. He's the only one. Nobody ever has and nobody ever shall. In the perfection, Christ did it. That's why he came. And it's only in perfection that God regards it as obedience. It's got to be perfect to be accepted of God. Got to be absolutely perfect. It's only in the love of God manifest in Christ's willful obedience, willfully laying down his life. It's only in his obedience that the love of God is manifest. 1 John 4:9, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And then Paul said this in Romans 5. He said, when we were without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. This commandment Christ received of the Father. He gave him this commandment to go forth and manifest his love, manifest the perfect love of God, the righteousness of God, and to do it by laying down his life in perfect love to God and perfect love to his people. That's what Christ, the commandment Christ gave him, was this law of this mediatorial sacrifice that he was to make. So that commandment came from the Father in eternity. In eternity. He said, this commandment I received from my Father. Now, let's behold this perfect righteous love of Christ. He said in verse 18, no man taketh it from me. He said, I lay down my life of myself. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power, authority to lay it down. I have power, authority to take it again. The Lord Jesus laid down his life voluntarily. I titled this, no man, I forget what I titled it. I lay it down of myself. That's what we titled. I lay it down of myself. I thought to title this, the free will. Because this is the free will. Nobody coerced our Lord Jesus to do what he did. And truly now, in eternity, when the Father gave this commandment, the Lord willingly, he laid down his life then. He laid down his life then. Because when you, as the scriptures say, when you enter suretyship for a friend, you bind yourself. You shall surely smart for it, because you've bound yourself by becoming surety. But to do that, our Lord willingly entered into that covenant. He laid down his life from eternity. He's the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And then his coming into the world, you know, it says he took on him the form of, he made himself of no reputation. He took the form of a servant. He did this willingly. When we preach Christ and him crucified, we're talking about everything our Lord did in laying down his life from eternity all the way through his life, all the way to the cross. And that was, it was all him laying down his life voluntarily. No man took Christ's life. They couldn't even touch him till the time appointed. They couldn't lay a finger on him till the time appointed. He laid down his life himself. It was his will to lay down his life. It was uncoerced. It was his loving obedience to his Father and to his people. He alone is the one who is perfect love. We see perfect love, the perfect love of God in Christ and His obedience. And this was manifested, the love of God. God sent forth His only begotten Son. He commanded His Son, and His Son willingly came forth to manifest the love of God. Perfect obedience that God requires toward God and men. The love of the law. This is what Christ came willingly to perform. Now go to Hebrews 10. Men like to talk about man's will. Here's the will that we need to be talking about right here. It's the will of our Lord Jesus, who willingly laid down His life. He said, Hebrews 10, verse 5, when He cometh into the world, He saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. And burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure, no satisfaction was made. Justice was never satisfied. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it's written of me. All these Old Testament scriptures were speaking of me, Christ said. I come to do thy will, O God. He said, this commandment I received of my Father. Why couldn't animals make atonement? Because animals could not willfully. The will is a moral, it's a moral thing to morally, willfully lay down your life. Animals couldn't do that. Animals couldn't do that. They weren't acting in obedience to God. They weren't acting in love to God. They were just sacrifices. Christ willingly laid down His life. He willingly laid down His life for God and for His people. And He did it from a heart of perfect love to God and perfect love to His people. I mean, all His heart, all His soul, all His strength, all His mind, all He willingly did this. And that's how all God's elect are made perfect, by what He did. He had to love God and He had to love His brethren without any sin in perfection. Think about that now. Hold your place there in Hebrews 10. Just think about this. Remember in Isaiah 53? Isaiah 53 says, whenever He was smitten and when He was mocked and all the things that sinners did to our Lord, it says He opened not His mouth. He opened not His mouth. Now you just think about this for a minute. Think about this. Out of the heart the mouth speaks. Now, sinners smote Him on the cheek. Just reared back and cold cocked Him on the cheek. Smote Him on the cheek. Plucked out the hairs of His beard. You know how that hurts. That hurts just to pull one hair out. They grabbed His beard and pulled out His beard by the handfuls. They plucked out the hair. They mocked Him. They spat upon Him. They stripped Him naked. Put a crown of thorns on His head. Put a reed in His hand and an old dirty robe on Him and mocked Him as a king. And then nailed Him to a cross. You just picture each stroke of the hammer nailing His hands and His feet to a cross. And then sat down and mocked Him some more. Here's the perfection it requires to obey the law of God. He never had even a glimmer, not even just a flash of sin toward those men that did that to Him. Not any. And He was doing it in perfect love to God and perfect love for His people. And He had not even a glimmer of sin in Him. He opened not His mouth. Now, let me ask you this. If you were smitten on the face, there's going to be perfect love. No sin, not even a glimmer, not even a flash. What if our neighbor's house burned down? We're going to go over and give them the keys to our house and say, take mine. What if our neighbor's son gets life in prison? We're going to go and say, take my only son and let him serve. Your son stay home. And would we not in our hearts have this thought? I'm glad it wasn't mine. We've never obeyed the law of God. It's impossible. It's impossible. But our Lord Jesus did this perfectly. Is that what God's law requires? Does it require that kind of obedience? God is perfect. God is righteous. God is holy. There is no sin with God, and He can't look upon sin. It requires absolute perfect love. That's the perfect righteousness it requires. That's the love God gave. Christ gave to His Father and to His people by laying down His life. And not only was it that stuff that He suffered from men, but He bore the shame of His people's sin and bore the curse, the wrath of God on our behalf, the second death. And He did all that in perfect faith to God, perfect love to God. This is why God only looks to Christ. This is why He only looks to Christ. He never has looked anywhere to Christ. Christ is the one man on behalf of all His people who has a perfect will and from a perfect heart loved God and His people as Himself, which is the perfect fulfillment of the law, and laid down His life and put away our sin. The only one. The only one. And it was a sorrowful, painful death. Lamentations 1:13 says, He said, from above hath He sent fire into my bones, and it prevaileth against them. He has spread a net for my feet. He turned me back. He made me desolate and faint all the day. The yoke of my transgressions is bound by His hand. They're wreathed and come up upon my neck. He's made my strength to fail. The Lord hath delivered me into their hands, for whom I'm not able to rise up. And He knew all this. He knew He would face all this. And He did it in unparalleled perfect love. Willingly. No man takes my life. I lay it down of myself, He said. On one hand, Christ's obedience to God was Him totally denying Himself and His will and doing the will of His Father. He said, I came not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me. So on one hand, it was Him totally denying Himself and doing the will of the Father. But on the other hand, it was the will of the Father for Him to do what He was doing. So it's the only time one man and God, their will was in harmony, in perfection. One time in the whole, since the fall, one time in perfection. And this was it. He said, hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father. As the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. And He went to the cross. That's Christ's love in laying down His life. It was perfect oneness of God's will with the will of man. God's will and the will of the Lord Jesus in perfect holy love, in Christ our head, perfectly fulfilling the will of God. So look back now at Hebrews 10 and look at what he says here. We'll talk about the will of man. This is the man whose will we need to be talking about. Right here, Christ, I lay down my life. No man takes it from me. I willingly do this. Look at here, Hebrews 10:10. He said, I came to do thy will, O Father, by whose will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ one time. His will, by His will, by this perfect willing surrender of Himself to fulfill God's will. What does it mean when it says, by His will we're sanctified? Verse 14, by one offering He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. This is what He told Abraham He would do. Remember we saw the other day when He came to Abraham and He said, Abraham, I am El Shaddai, the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. I will fulfill my covenant. I will, I will, I will. Remember how many times He said that? I will, I will. And then He came forth and said, Father, I came to do thy will. And it's by His will. That's what He was telling Abraham. Walk before me and be perfect.
Because I'm your surety. I'm your perfection. It's by my will that you will be. He was perfected forever already in Christ's surety, but he went to the cross and by that one offering perfected his people. That's the only way God can have any. That's the only way God can accept us. He said in the law, it must be perfect to be accepted. This is why Christ's ministers say, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world's crucified unto me and I unto the world. This is why, brethren, this is amazing love. This is why those believers in heaven and those in earth say, herein is love, that we love God. Oh no, herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and gave His Son the propitiation for our sin. Now look back at John 10. And He laid down His life that He might take it again. The same way that nobody took His life from Him, He laid it down. So He had no help from anybody. He raised His life again. Look here in verse 17. I lay down my life that I might take it again. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it again. No man in the history of this world, except this one man right here, no man ever said, I yield up my spirit and yielded up the ghost. He's the only one that ever did it. Nobody took his life from him. And it wasn't suicide. Nobody took his life from him. He willingly laid down his life on the cross. And when he satisfied justice, he said, into thy hands I commit my spirit. Nobody ever did that. He did that. And he's the only one that ever took up his lifeless body out of the grave and arose alive. He's the only one that ever did that. He said, I have the authority to lay it down. I have the authority to take it up again. And it was because he laid it down that he was able to raise it up. That's what he said there. And he said, I lay down my life that I might take it again. This was part of the covenant. He agreed to lay down his life. And God gave him the authority to take it up again. Now, why did he do that? Go to Romans 1. What was he declaring by that? He's declaring that he is the mediator, that he is the Son of David and the Son of God. That's what he's declaring, that he truly was the God-man, the Lord Jesus. Look here. Paul said, he's preaching the gospel, verse 3, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. That's what was being declared. He came out of that grave and it declared he really is the Son of God. He really is God in human flesh because he raised himself. To this end, Christ both died and rose and revived that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. The man, Christ Jesus, is the Son of God. The man, Christ Jesus, is the Son of God. He is the Christ. He is the head of his people. He is the righteousness of his people. He is the perfection of love, the perfection of the law for all his people. He is. He is. And it's declared by the fact that he raised himself from the dead. God the Father raised him, Scripture says. The Spirit of God raised him, Scripture says. But he says right here that he raised himself. And you know what that declares? He's God. He's one with the Father and one with the Spirit. That man is God in human flesh. That's what it declared. Now look at the Father's love for the Son. He said, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life. Now, as God the Father, and God the Son are one in love, they're one. But he's talking here about him as the mediator, as Christ Jesus, the God-man, as the head and representative of his people. He's talking about the relationship that God the Father has to him and he has to the Father is the exact same relationship that every one of his elect has with the Father in him, because of him. He's the only one who can say this. Me and you can't say this. Nobody else can say this. And this is why this is blasphemous when people say something like this, because he's the only one that can say this. He's the only one who can say he merited and deserved fully the love of the Father. Because he did everything perfectly and in perfect accord with the will of God his Father. He did. I don't understand this. I have no idea how this could even be. But it's so of him as a man. And remember now, all his people are in him, and he's representing us as he walked this earth. But Scripture says, as a man, he grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and men. Because he only did that which pleased the Father. He said earlier in John, I always do that which pleases the Father. He highly exalted the Father. And God's pleased with him. God is satisfied with him. He justified God. He declared him just and the justifier manifest his righteousness. He justified his people from all our sins. His blood completely, thoroughly blotted out all our sins. That's what his perfect love did for his people. By laying down his life, he blotted out the sin of his people. Justification means there is no record of sin, period. For anybody for whom Christ died, none. None. Do you believe that? You believe that? You believe God when he says you are justified. He says, search for their sin. It will not be found because it is no more. I have blotted it out as a thick cloud. It doesn't exist. When the record books are open in glory in that final day, there will be no sin to be found for his people, period. Why? Christ's perfect love went to the cross and loved us to the death of the cross and put it all away. And it pleased God. His blood, by his one offering, made his people perfect before God. Perfect before God. So that God looks us up and down, looks us completely, thoroughly over, and says, you are absolutely, perfectly righteous. Holy God saying to you, believer, you're perfectly righteous. Christ's obedience, Christ's perfect love. Here's what God says. This is what his law says. It says that everyone that trusts Christ only, it says we have loved God and loved our brethren, even our enemies, with all our heart and all our soul and all our mind and all our strength and all our body, with everything about it, we have done it perfectly. Perfectly. That's what this book declares. Man, we ought to be jumping pews right now. I'm telling you. What did he say? He has seen the travail of his soul, and he's satisfied. The pleasure of the Lord prospered in his hand. My righteous servant has justified many. He's poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors. He bare the sin of many. He made intercession for the transgressors. Wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name above every name. And God says, this is my son. Hear him. Preach him. Declare him. And you better not be preaching man up. You better be preaching man down and preaching my son up. If this was your son, would you stand for somebody preaching up a dead dog sinner and trying to give him glory that belongs to your son? God won't have that. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hands. Everything. He said, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. He said, I'll divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. You know why Christ's yoke is light and easy? Here's why it's light and easy. He took that old law, that broad, deep, tall, giant law. He took that old law, fulfilled it for his people, and comes to you and says, believe on me, and this obedience is yours. Believe on Christ, and his obedience is your obedience. I'm not trying to keep the commandments of God. I have kept them in perfection. You can say that, believer. What do you think the imputation of righteousness is? It's God declaring you as righteous as God's holy law is righteous. That's exactly what it is. By the doing and dying and love of Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, when we need to be humbled and brought down off our high horse of thinking that we're better than somebody else or we've done something and God ought to give us a good reward because of all our great and splendid works. This is what he takes right here, this book. Just like this is how we came in the first hour. We thought that about ourselves in the first hour. And what'd he do? He turns you to true perfect obedience, to true perfect love. And what'd that do? That broke your heart and put you in the dust and made you say, Lord, I've never loved you as I ought. And that's how he continues to do it. When we're down and we're out and we think we sin too much and we think God's going to cast us out and the devil and all his ministers are still telling us the same thing, what's going to keep you from falling away? Christ coming in the Spirit and in power through this gospel and saying, look to me. I'll never let you go. I did this for you. I'll never let you go. That's how he strengthens you. What I'm saying is looking to Christ that he chastens, he corrects, he builds up, he pulls down, he makes you persevere. And it's beholding his love. This is the constraint. This is the constraint. And it made us in the first hour believe on him. It makes you continue following after him. It makes you want to honor him. It makes you mourn your sin when you don't, when he shows it to you. And it makes you quit looking at everybody else. It makes you look at him. It puts our mouth in the dust. It makes us love. Even when we're not loved. Why? Because he loved us when we didn't love him. He laid down his life for us when we didn't love him. We hated him. We were ungodly when he did this for us. And this is how he grows us in that love and keeps you seeing his is the only perfect love. It keeps you humbled and keeps you knowing he's your perfection. He's your perfection. I pray today we'd believe on him. And those that had never believed on him, cast all your care on him. And anybody that has cast your care on him, that he would bring us to cast our care on him all over, all again, all completely. It's in his hands. It's in his hands. This is the sum and summation of the whole book, of every word he speaks in this book, everything that is practical. This is as practical as you can get. It's only hearing this that's going to make us believe him and constrain us to love him and constrain us to love one another, all the while confessing, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to thy name be the glory. This is it. This is it. Father, we thank you for this word. Thank you for sending your son. Lord, we're thankful that you didn't leave salvation to our will. We're thankful that this is the love by which you make your people willing to believe on you, trust you, repent from ourselves, repent unto God. Lord, keep your people looking to you. Keep us safe, protected. Keep us knowing that what you've done for us and that you'll continue to work to save us and keep us. Lord, bless your church. Bless your people everywhere. We ask your mercies right here for every one of us, for each member of our house, our children that don't know you, and those that do. Lord, don't let us ever grow stale. Don't let us grow lukewarm. Don't let us think we know. Keep us hungry. Keep us thirsting after your righteousness alone. Keep us looking out of ourselves to you only. Keep us sinners in need of constant, continual salvation by Christ our Redeemer. Lord, be with those that aren't with us. Be with those that are hurting and sick and sorrowful. And Lord, bless the word to their heart. Bring us all down to your feet to just trust you. Know that you're salvation. We need this, Lord. We're asking you in all these things to save us in spite of us. We thank you, Lord, for the blood of our Redeemer. We ask you to cleanse our feet, Lord. Keep us walking toward Him, looking to Him alone. It's in His precious, holy, willing name that we ask you. Amen.